Look, memory can change the shape of a room. It can change the color of a car. And memories can be distorted. They're just an interpretation, not a record. And they're irrelevant if you have the facts.
Someone wants me. Someone roaming the streets wants me.
Your car's uglier than I am.
It's the Al Travis Show. We're lucky to have him. He's Representative Walter Hudson on the program with us. Representative, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm coming to you from the home base rather than St. Paul, so that makes me instantly feel happier.
You guys have, what, 4 days off now? I mean, counting the weekend, but you're off to like Wednesday next week, right?
Yeah, officially noon Wednesday is when legislative business resumes.
And I say off, I've known plenty of legislators and stuff. It's got to be hard, even more for you because you're recognizable, for you to walk downtown, to walk, go someplace and not have somebody bring something. Can you eat dinner in your neck of the woods and not have someone come up and say, hey, what about the thing? Whether they're for you or against you, but come out and say, hey, thanks, you know, thanks for keep up the good work, or the other side saying, what? Do you have that problem?
I haven't achieved that level of fame yet, where I can't live in peace in the real world. No, I mean, most people, every once in a while, it's funny. The family went on vacation to Wisconsin Dells, and I ran into somebody, or somebody came up to me.
Yeah.
It does happen sometimes, but it's not to the degree where it's in any way like unlivable. So,
oh, okay. That's fair enough. Cause I mean, you're kind of a lightning brand at some point. I mean, there are people that just absolutely despise you and others who think you're just carrying the torch for them. So I mean, that's what I meant by,
I don't get hostility. I think the people who are hostile to me are afraid of what will happen if they come up to me, which
it's easy to be hostile when we're talking on Apple apps, right?
Right.
It's easy to do it there because you got some strange pseudonym name that doesn't mean anything. I guess it's easier to be hostile then, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, most people, and you get them in person, they're not gonna talk to you with half the professed toughness that they will online from the safety of a screen.
When we get larger breaks in the House and the Senate, when they take those, we always get some strange stories that come out at the end. Like, we could do this quickly, get it out there, and then not have to deal with it for 4 or 5 days. We won't be around for the papers or whatever. Anything happen in any of your committees in the last day or two that was like, what?
My Lord. Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're winding down the committee process. We're getting to that point in session where the funnel that legislation has to go through in order to ultimately have a chance of being passed has become extraordinarily narrow. And in fact, this week, the committees are wrapping up their work. And so we had our final committee hearing in the Children and Families Committee for the term. I mean, the committees, as they are constituted, will not meet again until the other side of the election. And so we were considering our final bills, and the final bill in the Children and Families Committee was their finance omnibus, supplemental budget omnibus for this year, which turned out to be very meager because, as it turns out, they've ran out of money. They already spent it all. So, you know, there's that functional limitation of how much they can do.
Warning, but they're going to come for more. Sorry.
Yep. But one of the bills that was included within it is a bill to provide an appropriation to an unnamed third-party vendor in order to do a needs analysis for emergency shelters for LGBT youth homelessness. Now, on its face, you might look at that and your eyebrow might raise a little bit and be like, huh, well, okay. Fine. Homelessness. We need people to be sheltered. We don't want people dying from exposure in the street. But why specifically LGBT youth?
That was going to be my question. It's like, wait a minute. First off, I don't know what the percentages is of the LGBT community. I throw out 10% to say it's huge. 10%. How many of them end up becoming homeless out of the 10% there? And how is it different than just straight kid, homeless kid? And why would I care one way or the other what they're that? It's weird to me. Why are we deciding? And here's my point. Straight kid, guy or girl goes homeless, goes to the same shelter area. What, we can turn them away because they don't fit the category? Why homeless would be the category. Everything else after that seems strange to me.
Well, these are the questions that any rational person would have. Oh. And the answer provided by the author of the individual bill included in the omnibus, who was Representative Lee Finke, of course, was that LGBT youth are disproportionately represented within the homelessness community or with amongst the homeless because, and these are the reasons that were given, because of housing and employment discrimination. And the third reason given was family rejection. And the first time we talked about this in committee when the original bill, the individual bill was heard, we focused a lot in the minority on scrutinizing the specific named entity that was getting the money, because at that time there was a specific named entity called Our Space that has barely existed for the past 3 years. Its registration lapsed and they had to renew it. There's no financial information online for this organization. And so we focused on that. But after that hearing, I kept thinking about it. And I started to ask myself some questions, like, what does family rejection look like in the context of youth homelessness? We're talking about minor children.
Yeah.
And it occurs to me that there's really only two situations that we could possibly be talking about here. One is mom and dad kick the kid out of the house, making no arrangement for their alternative care.
Safety. Yeah.
We would call that criminal child negligence. And we would deal with that both through the criminal justice system and through the child protective services system. And that would not result in a child being homeless. That's not what we consider a acceptable resolution to a case. Oh, the kid's homeless now, right? So obviously we're not talking about that. So what's the other situation we could possibly be talking about? Runaways. Kid doesn't like it at home. Kid doesn't get along with mom and dad. So kid decides to leave. Well, if that's the case, then what you're saying is we want to construct a place for runaways to go where they're going to receive who knows what services. And in a context where last year we passed the PRO Act, we passed the Trans Refugee Bill, also authored by Finke, all of which went out of their way to ensure that parents don't have anything to do with the decisions that their children are making in this particular space of gender-affirming care. And so in that context, you're talking no requirement for parental notification. We already know, based on the law they passed last year, that there's no requirement for parental consent in order to receive gender-affirming care. I met with a bunch of mothers yesterday at my office who are all mothers of gender dysphoric children who are undergoing transition against the will of those mothers. Okay. So this is happening where parents are discovering that their child has been effectively, in my view, groomed into making a life altering decision by other non-custodial adults without the knowledge or consent of the parents. And the way I read it, this bill is creating a center for that.
Well, and again, it goes down, I guess, if I'm just want to be Al, you darn conservative guy.
Yeah.
What are the numbers? Or, I mean, is it $1 million to give to what this outfit he wants to create this place? And then how many will it affect? Do we have a number? Has anybody studied it? Is it just this? I guess I've been around. I don't see a lot of under 18-year-old LGBT community members living under bridges. I might be missing it. I'm not driving in the right neighborhoods. How many does it affect? And then I go back to what difference does it make if the child is homeless because he doesn't get along with mom and dad, not wanting him to smoke cigarettes, doesn't want him on the marijuana. We argued I left the house. How is that any different than they don't like me because I'm gay? I you know what I'm saying? I guess the reason you're homeless doesn't seem to be as all inspiring as who you are in this case. Why isn't homelessness the problem if that's the real problem? Let's fix it. I'm not opposed to fixing it. It just seems we're only fixing it for those we like. How about little Johnny, the white guy who just as mad as hell at his parents because he won't let him smoke marijuana? He's homeless, but he doesn't have a shelter.
Well, it very much appears to me, and again, this is an appropriation. It was $200,000 in the original bill. I'm not sure where it's landed now. But this is to conduct that study, right? To perform the needs analysis.
Okay.
And the case that you're making, what I would say, and based upon the things that Finke has said publicly and that other representatives in support of this bill have said publicly and just what we know they've passed, Finke talks about the fact that we're a trans refuge state and that we're attracting trans people, trans families, trans kids to the state of Minnesota as a result from the surrounding region of the country. And so it's the way I read this is they are encouraging, they want kids to separate from their families so that they can come transition, so that they can come engage with these gender affirming care services without the knowledge or consent of their parents. Certainly, there's nothing in the laws that they are drafting that prevents that, or that makes sure that parents are involved, or that makes any effort whatsoever to reunite or reconnect children with their parents, with their families. And in fact, in the conversations that I've had about this bill, you know, private conversations in the hallway with folks on the other side, there seems to be this built-in assumption that if a child runs away from home, if a trans kid, as they describe them, runs away from home, it's because they're being abused. Like, there's no other possibility. And this betrays their fundamental underlying belief. Their underlying belief is that if you don't immediately affirm your child's declaration that they are something other than what they physically are, that is inherently abusive. And it's so abusive that it justifies the termination of your parental rights. I mean, that is explicitly in the trans refugee bill, that we're going to cancel the rights of parents from other states if their kid makes it across the state line.
We got to go to break. It's amazing we're talking about these things. I'm just sitting and listening to you. All right, 16-year-old kid comes in. He goes to this home that we want to set up. He's in the home for 2 years. He gets the transition. Why is there? Everything is glorious until he turns 18. You're getting booted out. We did all we could do. What's the state going to do for the poor 18-year-old now trans kid who hasn't had a parent group there to help him get him off to the next step? Are we going to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, we did great for the kids. Got 18? Not my problem. We got to go to break. We'll be back after this with more with Representative Walter Hudson.
Easily offended? The Al Travis Show is not for you. The Al Travis Show. All sides are welcome.
We've got him, Representative Walter Hudson, on the program with, excuse me, Walter, Representative, here's an issue I have, and I call it continuity of thought. What drives me crazy, and maybe people say, Al, you've got it, but you're wrong in everything. Could be, and I might be. But the continuity of thought, we sit here and talk about transgender youth in Minnesota. We're opening this up. Come here. We'll help you change your identity, or the way you're born. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Let's just say, even if they want to believe it is right, that a 16-year-old, an 8-year-old, if your parents saying no, let's just say they're right for a moment. They have every right to do that, whether the parents agree or not. This is the same group that right now is trying to get, what is it, menthol-flavored cigarettes banned for everybody. You're a 16-year-old kid. You can decide to change who you are physically, but as a 42-year-old man and you want a menthol cigarette, you're nuts, buddy. You don't know how bad that's going to hurt you. And this is at the same time we want to rip the cigarette guys. Let's keep taking their money from the cigarette. But marijuana, now that's going to be good for you. But this will work. And there's no harm if you're a kid doing it. We don't want you to, but no penalty. It's the continuity of thought. Either you're in or you're out. Either you understand it or you don't. I'm a big believer. If you're going to take me to 18 years old, put me in the service, you can have a beer at the bar. That's just me. If you're going to defend my country with an M16, a grenade launcher, yeah, you can sit at the bar next to me and have a beer. Do you get my point? This, the lunacy that's going on. What do you mean menthol is a problem we got to deal with? What? Did it? What?
Yeah, I mean, consistency of thought is a very elusive and rare quality in government at all levels. But certainly here in the state of Minnesota, certainly under the Democrat trifecta, consistency of thought is going to be very hard to come by, if not completely absent from the consideration. What I will say about flavored cigarettes. So I took a meeting with a group of kids and a constituent on this issue. And coming into that meeting, I was right where you're at, where I'm like, this is stupid. Why are we even talking about this? And I was compelled by the stories that I was told by the high school students and junior, actually these were middle school students from the same school that my kid goes to.
Fair enough.
Telling me about how prolific tobacco use and vaping and all these things are in the school. So kids are getting a hold of this stuff somehow. And apparently the mechanisms that we have to try to prevent that are not working. They're not functioning. And when you look at the way that a lot of these products are marketed, it does raise concerns about what is it that you're really trying to do here, especially when the studies indicate apparently that when you get people hooked young, they're more likely to be lifetime users, right? Yeah. And so from a marketing perspective, there's an incentive to try to be too cute by half and be like, oh yeah, you know, we don't sell to kids. Obviously it's illegal, therefore.
Let's go after Pepsi and Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew got me hooked when I was 18 years old. I have them every day. They're those sons of, you know, that's what.
And so that's the thing, right? Is that it's two things can be true at once.
Yeah.
It can be true, and it is true, that saying we're going to ban flavors for everybody of all ages in order to, quote unquote, protect the kids may in fact be overreach. It's also true that we got a problem with youth smoking and youth tobacco use, and I don't know what the 100%
agree, but this is at the exact same time we now have gummy bear pot.
Yes.
Gummy bears. And you tell me the gummy bear was made for a 55-year-old man? No, it is. Get the kids. It gets it in their school, in their pocket, in their backpack. Can't tell the difference between a regular old gummy bear that they used to eat. Now these, except these make me feel fine during science class.
Yeah.
It's the continuity of thought. You can't
pass
gummy bears and then say, but menthol cigarettes is where we draw the line. Right.
Well, and that's literally what they're doing. Last night on the House floor, we considered the fix bill that's not a fix at all to the marijuana legislation they passed last year. And we had an amendment specifically for that purpose of saying, hey, let's get rid of flavors and in gummies and all these things because these things are marketed to kids. And they rejected it. So it's like it's literally their argument. Like, we're applying their argument to marijuana. The same argument they're bringing against tobacco, we're applying to marijuana, and they're saying, no, that's dumb. And it's like, well, I mean, it's either dumb or it ain't. And
thank you.
Right? That's, like, you got to be consistent.
Well, at least, again, continuity, at least then, honey, what you, like you say, I'm throwing your argument back at you. Why is it different for this? And then I want to hear what their answer is, because it makes no sense. Gummy bears with pot, good. Menthol cigarettes, bad. Somebody just has to tell me that answer, sir. And it would drive me nuts if I were you. I will never run for office because I would go flipping nuts trying to put that stuff together.
I mean, it does require certain coping skills. I'll just say that.
I don't have them. But, sir, I love having you on the program. And thank you for taking the time to be here. Try doing it again next week if we got the time.
Sounds good.
All right. He's Representative Walter Hudson on the Al Travis Show.